Boy, I appreciate the good preaching. Amen. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Psalmist said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word."
Yes.
And I tell you what it'll do. When you take heed to the word of God, it'll produce some things in your life. It will produce energy for my spiritual development.
Yes, sir.
It will produce energy for the establishment of sound doctrine.
Amen.
And encouragement for my deportment, enlargement of my vision, and the establishment of my faith.
Amen.
Taking heed to the Lord. It's not enough just to hear.
Right.
See, I preach somewhere most every week, and I inevitably I'm gonna hear somebody say, you know, God stirred my heart. Or God moved in my heart. Or God convicted me, but there's no change.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Spirit of God is the one who does the convicting.
Right.
But there has to be response from you and from me.
That's
amen.
Right.
And so if we know to do, and we do not do it, then we have committed sin before our God.
That's right.
Amen. We're back in Colossians chapter number 1. And I'll share a few thoughts tonight from Colossians chapter number 1. And I want to put in at Colossians 1 in verse number 15. And I'd like to read through verse 23. In verse 15, the Bible said, and he said in verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister." I want to emphasize the preeminence of Christ, and tonight the thought of the incomparable revelation of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow with us for prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the good preaching that we've heard tonight. Thank you for the Spirit of God that's reminded us of our personal responsibility. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us not to forget what you've said, but may we alter our life, adjust our lives to the will of God. I do pray that you might bless this time together, give us strength and health. And Lord, I pray that you might bind Satan and his adversaries, accomplish your purpose. We do pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen and amen. You may take your seats. And earlier this morning, we talked about that we can know the will of God. You and I can know the will of God in verse number 9. Verse number 10, we saw that we had the privilege of being fruitful for the Savior. Verse number 11, we have access to his might and power so that we can endure the trials with joyfulness that come our way. Verse number 12, that Christ, through Christ we've been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints. And then verse 13, we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Verse 14, we have redemption. Verse 14 again, we have the forgiveness of sins. And without Christ, none of these benefits would be ours. I'm grateful, but may God help us to remember that all these things that we have is because of Jesus Christ, the preeminent one. Christ is preeminent because he is the creator and he's a ceaseless head of the church who hath reconciled us to God through the blood of his cross. Now, I want you to see with me back to verse 15. In verse 15, the Bible said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. This is the preeminent Christ. He is the image. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. 1 Timothy 2:5, the Bible said there's just one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. I'm grateful that he is who he said he was. Now, Jesus Christ is the revelation of the Father. When we speak of the fact of the that word image, it has a double meaning. Jesus Christ is a perfect representation of the Father. But again, he's not only a perfect representation of the Father, he is the manifestation of the Father. The Bible said that in the book of John chapter 1, and we're noticing John chapter 1 and reading some familiar verses, John chapter number 1, and let's look at verse number 18. The Bible said in verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He has showed him forth. Then notice with me in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, and let's read verse 8 and verse 9. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I'm saying Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the image of the Father. The word firstborn, it's not first in order of created beings, for our Savior was not created. He was begotten, I say this, and not created, but he's first in priority. Amen. Amen. And by the way, he deserves a matter of your loyalty and your faithfulness to him. Listen, it was Vance Havner said we ought to be faithful to the faith and faithful in the fight and faithful to the finish. Amen. I'm saying to you, we can because of the preeminent Christ. I cannot do, but he can enable me to be faithful to him. Now, I'm saying it's first in priority. Now, again, Christ is the priority, and I see his sovereignty over all creation. I believe that God created man in his own image. And he breathed in man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I don't believe that man evolved from a monkey or a tadpole, even though I've seen some that made me suspicious. I'm saying I'm glad that God created man, and he's a sovereign God. He's in charge. Amen. And so notice with me this. He's sovereign over all creation. He holds a title deed. And is appointed heir of all things. Notice with me the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter number 1, let's read the verse. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 2, the Bible said, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He is a heir of all things. And so Jesus Christ is the revelation of the Father's person. But he is also, and by the way, he's the one upon whom all the Father's purposes is centered. Yep. It's centered in Christ. And he's God manifest in the flesh. Right. But notice with me verse 16. The Bible said in verse number 16, he said it this way, and by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I'm reminded that Jesus Christ is the revelation of the Father, but Jesus Christ is the Lord of creation. He's the Lord, and so we are accustomed to thinking We're accustomed to thinking as the work of the Father, redemption, that creation's work of the Father, redemption work of the Son, and sanctification work of the indwelling Holy Spirit. But could I say this? Listen, the fact is that all the Godhead is concerned with all these ministries. I'm saying in creation, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now, with that, and John chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible said all things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so I say without Jesus, there was nothing and anything that could be made without the Lord Jesus Christ. But then the Bible said, turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, let's look again. We're talking about He's the Lord of creation. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2, the Bible said, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, be reminded that it was the Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the water. I'm saying the Holy Spirit is accused of a lot of things He has no part in. He's a real person. But now here's three things that take place when the Spirit of God moves. It happens. He brought light out of darkness.
Yes, sir.
That happens every time.
Amen.
He brings life out of deadness.
Amen.
That happens every time. And He brought law to settle disorder.
Amen.
That's the work of God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Then and today when God the Holy Spirit... Hallelujah. Could I say... our redemption, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And then the Son of God gave Himself. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that now I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Then I find in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 14 that through the eternal Spirit He offered Himself without spot to God. And then again I find the indwelling. Turn with me to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, let's look at verse 16. And the Bible said this in John 14 verse 16. And Jesus said, and I'll pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not.
Yeah.
It seeth Him not, and neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And could I say it this way? He said, I will come. He said, I'll come to you. And then He said, we will come and make our abode in you. And then again, I find it's not one person not just one person of the Trinity alone in a particular ministry which is associated with us, but He must not imagine that the Father and the Spirit are excluded when we mark the Lordship of Christ, that Christ is Lord of creation, and that He was and He is Lord, and it is evident from the prepositions that's used in verse number 16. Now, He said in Him, not by Him, in Him, as the sphere of creation does not exist apart from Christ, should Christ cease to be, then creation would cease to be. And then He said through Him, not by Him, He said through Him, and as the agent through whom the worlds were made. And then He said, unto Him, as the goal to which the whole creation moves. And verse number 17, this is God's world. This is God's universe. And so the universe holds no ultimate terror for the believer. He's the preeminent one. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He lives in me. I want you to see me verse 18 and 19. The Bible said, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? The preeminence. And he said, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Now, Jesus Christ, he's the preeminent one, but he is the head of the church. And you understand that there's pictures of the church in the New Testament. It's pictured as a building where Christ is the foundation. Amen. And by the way, thank God, greater foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Jesus Christ is the foundation. And then he speaks of the church as a bride, where Christ is the bridegroom. I'm grateful tonight to be a part of the bride of Christ. I'm not a Baptist brider, but I'm a part of the bride of Christ. Amen. And then he speaks of the church as being a body where Christ is the head. Thank God he is the head of the church. And within the body, the relations of the several members to each other is stressed. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter number 12, the various services performed by the members are stressed. And then again, in Colossians 1:18, the subservience of the body is to the head. I'm saying to you, it's to the head. And again, because Jesus Christ is the head, every member of the church shares his life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Every member shares his life. He is the fount. He is the beginning of life. And the pledge of life to all his people as the first begotten from the dead. And again, I say, it is only as the members are rightly related to the head and each other that the body functions properly. We've got confusion in the body. The psalmist said, how blessed and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Right.
He's not talking about sameness. He's talking about oneness.
Right.
The prayer, the great intercessory prayer of our Lord in John 17, the prayer was that we might be one.
Right.
And our problem today is we've got too many that couldn't get along with anybody.
Yeah. Right.
So if there's a Lone Ranger, they will let Tonto ride with them. And so I see the fullness of deity, of creation, of the church, and out of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. Praise God. Thank God for who he is. We move from Christ's person to Christ's work. Now, notice with me verse 20. The Bible said that, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameably and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, notice what I'm saying. Jesus Christ is the reconciler of all things.
That's right.
He's the creator. He's the head of the church, but he's the reconciler of all things. Now, notice with me. This section records the work of him in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. This is his work. Now, the reconciling work with nature, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, these words takes us back to verse 16, verse number 17, and Christ is more than just a figure in history, more than just the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the center of the universe, and he's our source and our goal, the goal of his creation. And so now sin marred that. When centered in, sin marred that, and the beauty of God's handiwork, but the cross declared that the habitation is scheduled for rebuilding. The cross. Could I say this? When Jesus comes again, the whole creation shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption under the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hallelujah. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 21. And so His reconciling work is in grace. He's the reconciler of all things. Now, in Christ, the barrier between the Jew and the Gentile is broken down, and the gulf between God and man is bridged, and peace is made between man and God. Praise God. I'm glad I have peace with God because He is the reconciler of all things. And all I need to do is to receive the reconciliation. Amen. And so His reconciling act in history at Calvary, having made peace through His blood, having made peace through the blood of His cross, having made peace through the blood of the cross, Jesus reconciled us to God in the body of His flesh through death. And then Paul could never get away from the cross. He said, God forbid that I should glory, saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom the world is crucified and me and I in the world. Now, and so Paul could never get away from the cross. He hath given rest by His sorrow and life by His death.
Amen.
He's a reconciler. We're reconciled to God. Notice again, the reconciling purpose for eternity. We are to be what? We're to be presented to God in a condition befitting the sacrifice by which we have been reconciled. I want to say that one more time. And so we're to be presented to God in a condition befitting the sacrifice by which we have been reconciled. Again, can I say we'll be presented holy.
That's right.
I'm reminded that the Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see God. I believe that verse, do you? Peter writing said, be holy, for I am holy. God will present us as a holy bride.
That's right.
We've been reconciled to God. We're no longer a stranger.
Right.
We're not a hobo without a home.
Right.
We're not a vagabond looking for a home. Yeah. We're just a pilgrim on our way home. Hallelujah. I'm saying we've been reconciled to God. I'm His and He's mine. Notice to Him again. He's going to present us holy. He sets apart that we're set apart from sin. And then it'll be unblameable, without blemish as to actual sinning. And unreprovable. For who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I'm saying Romans 8:33. And so we go on to abide by faith in the gospel as it has come to us. We're saved by the grace of God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then tomorrow night, the Lord willing, I'm going to talk about the indwelling experience of the preeminent Christ. He's the preeminent one.
Yes, He is.
May God help us whet our appetite to be more like Him.
Amen.
And so He said, and you shall know the truth. Truth shall make you free. God wants me to comprehend the truth. You know what Dr. Kirkman preached? The truth. He wants us to comprehend the truth. But He wants us to be conformed to the truth. And He wants us to communicate the truth by life and by lip. We've been reconciled. Thank you.